listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Read your Bibles with me, would you? You know what I was doing yesterday? I was last night, actually. I was watching a football game, and Verizon stole my sermon topic. I couldn't believe it. There it was, flashing on the screen, never too much. So how do they know this? And they didn't even ask my permission to use my sermon title for the advancement of their product. What can I say? Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want to read a portion of this verse for you. Paul is writing to a church. The church is in Asia Minor in the city of Ephesus. And here's what he says to this church. He says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." That's a big word. You want to figure out what it means? Just take some time and look it up this afternoon. But here's where I want to go. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. May I say this morning, you can never wring out as much refreshment from a week's vacation as you may have anticipated the months that led up to that vacation. How many know you can book a vacation, you can plan for a vacation, you can anticipate, but somehow when you get to the vacation, you're sitting on the vacation, doesn't live up to the planning of the vacation. Neither can you maintain the thrill of an exciting football game. Now, I saw one yesterday. It was LSU versus Alabama. How many happened to check in on that one? Well, I don't know if you're an Alabama fan, but I happen to be an LSU fan on this day. And it was nice to see LSU overtake Alabama. But let me say this. That thrill will eventually wear off. You can't make quite as much room as you'd like when it comes to another helping of your Thanksgiving turkey dinner. How many know? I'm anticipating, even now, we're 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away. Turkey dinner. Well, by the way, for us, it isn't just an ordinary turkey. My wife won't settle for anything less than an organic turkey. These are special turkeys. These are not your regular run-of-the-mill turkeys. These turkeys don't get you sick after you eat a plate full of turkeys. You can go back for seconds and thirds and feel good about your turkey. Can never get enough. Now let me say that we as a church, we seek to be a presence-driven congregation, a church that pursues the presence of God earnestly. But when it comes to experiencing life with the Holy Spirit, by the way, He lives within us. I'm going to say something about that in just a moment. There's no way that you can get enough of the Holy Spirit. You can't get too much of him. In other words, like I said earlier in this service, you can never overdose on the Holy Spirit presence in your life. Have you ever thought of that? He is unlike any other fillings you want from another source. You really see this distinction quite clearly whenever you seek satisfaction from sinful pleasure. Have you ever figured out how desire for sinful gratification can work in your life? Are you aware that sin advertises itself as a sure, long-lasting solution to whatever may be missing in your life? And it claims to be inexhaustible. But in the process of getting there, you find yourself not only losing control to it, but eventually dropping to the bottom of it. You realize at a point in time, you've gone too far. And all the while, you are realizing why each and every sin substitute is always so lacking. I say that to say this. There is no such thing with the Holy Spirit. You can't want him enough in your life. You can't talk about him enough or too much in your life. And you can't put him in charge of your life too much. And you can't enjoy his peace or his presence too much. In other words, you can't get too full of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third member of the triune Godhead. We know of God the Father, we know of God the Son, and we know of God the Holy Spirit. Actually, I had this conversation with someone this past week, and we talked about the Godhead. How many remember when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River? The voice of the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus himself is there present, and the Holy Spirit shows up in the form of a dove. Three personalities of the Godhead. One of the more difficult things for us humans to understand or explain, but exists nonetheless. He is as real as Jesus was real when it came to him living on the earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "I'm going to send another comforter to be with you." For Jesus was the comforter to his disciples, but when he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit now is our comforter. And you can't get enough of him in your life. Even when you grieve him or you quench him, you can be filled back up with him in a moment. This comes by simply returning in repentance and surrendering to God. Let me divert, if I can, just a bit. Every one of us who are born again and are Christians, Do I have anybody here that knows you're a believer and a Christian? Put your hand up. See, every one of us who is born again has the Holy Spirit resident within our life. So as long as we live for Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in our life to direct us, to help us, to come alongside of us like a paraclete and guide us and direct us in our journey, in our Christian journey. However, the Bible is very explicit. In the book of Acts, we find illustrated there are believers. And when pressed, they were asked, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And these believers, we're talking about believers, Christians, they said these words, "We don't even know that there was a Holy Spirit." And so we see that the apostles laid hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with tongues and live their life in boldness for the Lord. So we see that there are two distinct and separate applications to the Holy Spirit in our life. When we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. But there is also an opportunity in our life, the Bible seems to indicate, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. It's like taking a glass of water. It has water in it, but you can pour more water in it, and that water overflows the rim of the glass. And that's what an overflowing of the Holy Spirit is like in our life. And when we even turn our back on the Holy Spirit and we quench him or we grieve him, and when we come to our senses, the Bible is clear in telling us that if we repent and surrender, we can be open to the Holy Spirit's impartation again and again. Now, I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit for as many years as I've been a pastor, which is really getting to be a real long, long time. But every time that I do speak on the Holy Spirit, even if I'm focusing on him for the entirety of the message, like today, I'm left only barely scraping the surface when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit and to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because what can be learned of the Holy Spirit really never ends. Can I say this? The book of Acts is just that. It's the acts or the activity of the Holy Spirit. Can I also say that the work and activity of the Holy Spirit did not end at the last chapter and the last verse of the book of Acts. The activity of the Holy Spirit has been functioning and taking place on planet Earth since that very day and continues to today. We've seen the Holy Spirit move in mighty ways. Even in our short lifetime, church, in America, with the renewal, and about breaking forth of the charismatic renewal, and all kinds of other moves of God in our short life, which leads us to the conclusion, the Holy Spirit is continuing to work and manifest the works of God before us. What can be observed of his constant working and ministry is more than any of us can fathom. Nothing that's been torn and divided in your life, even in your relationships with one another, is beyond the unifying capabilities of the Holy Spirit. He can do amazing things if we will but let him and allow him to accomplish. The places the Spirit of God can reach through and bring his loving conviction can also transform through his life-giving power. If we're talking about the dunamis of God, the dynamics of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit is God's agency on the planet to demonstrate his power. I have faith to believe that God just wants to download into Grace Harbor an amazing demonstration of his power. First, to change the lives of people and transpose them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But then yet, God wants to bless. He wants to demonstrate signs and wonders and all kinds of manifestations of his power. So, why would anyone attempt to live another day without doing it under his complete empowerment? Just try living this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to run a marathon. I'm not good at marathons running. I don't do that well. But it's like trying to run a marathon race without water to quench your thirst. Or like trying to turn on a lamp without electricity. Or maybe even trying to operate your car without gasoline. To live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit is absolutely impossible. But nothing is impossible to the one who fills and permeates and controls and influences our life. And that is a lot more than we can say for anything else. So do you understand this morning that the Holy Spirit is resident within you as a believer? And that God wants to give you a subsequent filling of the Holy Spirit so you can live your life with power to demonstrate the awesome, mighty works of God. However, you might be sitting in this place here today, or you might be viewing online, and maybe you've had some parched days in recent times with the presence of God. In other words, you're not where you would like to be in your relationship with God. Maybe you have had seasons where the times with the Lord have been somewhat non-existent. Even weekend worship for you could be dry. You could come into an atmosphere like this and you see people getting excited about their faith and their relationship and their worship to God, but inside you, you're saying, you know, I'm dried up. Not because of the pastor or the people, but because of your internal drought. I mean, no, just like regions of this country can go through drought Christians can go through drought and a lack of the flow of the Holy Spirit in their life. As dry and desperate as those conditions are, they don't need to be permanent. Can I direct you to Acts chapter 3 and verse number 20 this morning? Acts chapter 3 and verse 20 says this: times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, the presence of God. Remember, I said a little earlier this morning that we as a church seek to be a presence-driven church, a church that seeks the presence of God. The book of Acts simply states that as we pursue the presence of God, times of refreshing come our way. You want refreshing? That's a good thing to want. But I'm here to tell you that times of refreshing come from the presence of God. And I want you to know our Heavenly Father takes joy in turning gardens or our lives that look like lost causes into lush green places and lives being flooded with God's goodness. Today we can experience the fresh rain of God's grace and mercy upon our lives. I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 11, that God made this promise to you. I want you to own this promise this morning as a promise from God to you. This promise will be well worth the effort that you made to get here. And some of you have come from a long place. Some of you have come from the beach area. Some of you have come from East County. Some of you have come from regions to the south and to the north. You've made an effort to be here. But I want you to know it's going to be worth your trip to be here today, because God has made this promise for you. He said, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places." That's a dry spot. It's where the ground is so hard you can't penetrate it. And it says here that God will satisfy your desire and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, those whose waters do not fail. That's a season or a time of refreshing that God is providing for you. You can feel a surge of energy in your eyes as you wonder as you gaze upon God who loves you. That kind of heart that beats in your chest can pulse with renewed joy of the Holy Spirit. And God is not reluctant. So I want to give you some reminders, because God is ready and He's willing. So I want us to invite Him to bring a refreshing. Here are the four reminders that I need to impart to you. Number one, times of refreshing are here. And why is that an important reminder? Because sometimes we think, well, God's going to bring refreshing 10 years from now. Or we know he's promised seasons of refreshing to come. But they haven't arrived yet. No, church, I want you to get it this morning, that these times of refreshing are here. We are in those refreshing times. So when you gather in the house each and every Sunday, as we have been doing. This is a moment, a time for the refreshing of God upon your life. Number two, God wants to pour out blessing and renewal on your life. Not only is this the time and this the season, but it's in God's heart to pour out upon you blessing and refreshing. Thirdly, here's where we fit in. Simply posture yourself to receive God's grace and His mercy today. How do we posture ourselves? Number one, we humble ourselves before God. Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. All right? So posture yourself by humbling yourself and come with an open heart to receive from the Lord. How many know that's God's heart for us? Number four, just experience a new surge of God's presence in your being. I've got some closing questions for you to think about. What would change for you today if you completely trusted that the Holy Spirit is always enough for you? What would change if you were really convinced that the Holy Spirit is always enough? And the older you get, some of you are getting really old. The older you get, what do you frequently notice when life is becoming disappointing or unsatisfying for you? And ask yourself in that moment, am I filled up with the Holy Spirit? Because I'm here to tell you this morning, you can never get too much of the Holy Spirit. I asked my doctor once when we were talking about vitamins, in particular vitamin C. Can I overdose on vitamin C? And she said, really not. Your system will flush it out. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can't get enough of the Holy Spirit. What's more is we really need Him in our life. We actually need Him every minute of our life. I don't know how many times in the course of a day I've cried out, Holy Spirit, I just need You. I just need Your presence. I find myself wandering off. And I just need You, Holy Spirit, to bring me back on course in my thought processes, in my decisions, in my actions. What am I about to do right now in life? I don't want to labor the point, but I bought a set of tires here a few months back. We had one damaged on our car, and they were about ready to get changed anyhow. And so I decided to get some new tires. Bless my wife, she can have a nice ride. So I wanted 60,000 mile tires. I want to be changing these tires. Come on, church, every year or two. But they quoted me a price for 40,000 mile tires. which were around $800, $700, $800. Now, that's not a bad deal, I guess, for all the other stuff they do to get the tires in your car. But I wanted 60,000-mile tires, and they put 60,000-mile tires in my car. I paid the bill, went home, looked at the bill. Didn't pay attention. Because the 60,000-mile tires were north of $1,200. I paid $800. Holy Spirit said to me, you owe the store $400. So I turned on my heels. How many know it's good to listen to the Holy Spirit? So I went into the store and I said, look, we've been negotiating between 40,000-mile tires and 60,000-mile tires. The 40,000-mile tires cost $800, south of that a little bit. These 60,000-mile tires are north of $1,200. And I have 60,000-mile tires in my car, and I only paid for 40,000-mile tires. I owe you money. So I peeled out the money and I gave it to the gal. She says, thanks for coming back. Not everybody does that. How many know the Holy Spirit won't let us get away with stuff that isn't kingdom? But if we're not full of the Holy Spirit and He isn't speaking to us, how many know you could be riding on 60,000-mile tires and you only paid for 40,000-mile tires? But you got to live with yourself and your witness of God is more important than 400 bucks. Come on, stand to your feet. How many need more of the Holy Spirit in your life today? We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to guide us, to lead us, to direct us. I want you this morning, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, I've alerted Dave and Brenda, and I've alerted Ann, and that at the end of this service, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, just to come, and they're going to just pray for you and lay hands on you and just impartation of the Holy Spirit, more of His infilling, more. And those rest of you on the prayer team is welcome. And pray for us today to receive more of His presence. Come on, just step forward here this morning. You want more of the Holy Spirit, come. He is here to give you more of God's presence. Our worship team's going to worship and create an atmosphere of the presence of God. And we're going to receive more of Jesus today, more of His Spirit, more of His life. You want to say something?
Many of us don't think we need the Holy Spirit. Because, well, we're saved and our destiny is determined. But in 1 Corinthians 2, it says that eyes not seen, ear not heard, our heart has not comprehended the things that God is in store for us. Because they're revealed by the Holy Spirit. I gave my life to Jesus in 1975, baptized in water, but I wanted more of God. I wanted everything God had for me. And I went to a meeting one time and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It changed everything. It changed everything. It changed my worship. It changed my understanding of who I was, why I was saved, and what I was saved to. So many times we don't think we need the Holy Spirit. If we didn't need the Holy Spirit, why would God pour Him out? He knows we need the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage us today. This is the time. This is the moment. And if you don't want to come forward, I want to encourage you to put your hand right here. That's where our spirit is, right here. put your hand right here. And as pastor's praying, say, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And you will. You will, because he's a good God.
That's so true, because the Bible says out of the innermost part of our being flows. Lord, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our lives to you. We place our hands on our anatomy here that depicts your place of residence in our being. And we ask, Lord, fill us. Fill us. Fill us and keep filling us. Because we're sure of this one thing. We can't have enough of you. We cannot be overfilled with your presence. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can be overfilled. And so today, Lord, we're asking that you'd fill us to overflowing in our lives. Let your presence come to your people. That when we fit into some of these life situations, we'll have a readiness to hear you speaking into our life, directing us, governing us, reassuring us, comforting us, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Today we make room for you, Holy Spirit, in our life. Come and fill us with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come forward if you'd like special prayer. Remember, tonight at 5:30, we're going to gather for intercession in prayer. Come join us then as well. God bless you. Go in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.org.